you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Ezekiel. I'd like to read from Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. I encourage you to look in the Word of God, following the Scriptures as I read tonight. We'll be looking at 12 or 13 verses here from Ezekiel chapter 14. And the Word of God here is talking about, God is telling His people that He's going to send His judgments on Jerusalem, and He's saying that there are ways to be delivered from those judgments. There are things that individuals in the city of Jerusalem could do that would cause them to be spared and to be delivered and to be helped and to be aided by God when those judgments came. And I believe that all of us realize that America is in a very serious condition, and we know that God cannot lie. We know that America has turned her back on God. And I just want to encourage everybody here to know and understand that if you do what God says, even when God brings His judgment on a nation, that there are always those that are spared by God. There's always a remnant of His people in every nation, or any time that God brings His judgment on a city or a nation. There seems to always be a remnant in that city or nation that is spared by God. And God, in miraculous ways, delivers His people and blesses His people when they are serving Him, even in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. I'd like to read now from Ezekiel chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. God's going to enumerate a number of different ways that He might send His judgment on Jerusalem. Talk about four different ways He's going to send His judgment. And He's talking about how the people of God can spare themselves from having to experience that judgment. Ezekiel chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God says, "The Word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it." Now, is that a possibility, or is that a positive thing that will happen? And is it a declaration it might happen, or is it something that will definitely happen? I think it's a declaration of something that will definitely happen. He says, "Son of man, when the land sinneth against me," have we as a nation, have we sinned against God? It's not just against man or against churches, we have sinned against God. And then he says in verse 14, he says, "Though these three men," Noah, Daniel, and Job. Now, were those righteous men? Were those godly men? Were those individuals, Noah and Daniel and Job, are those three examples of individuals that were spared by God because of their righteousness? And when we look at the word of righteousness tonight, we're going to primarily be talking about righteousness that comes by the people of God keeping the commandments of God. And we'll be trying to distinguish between the righteousness that you have as a result of doing right and living right, as contrasted with the righteousness of God that is upon you that gets you into the eternal heaven. Everybody understand the difference there? We'll be looking at that further. So it says in verse 14, "Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it," that is in Jerusalem, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Now what does he say? The only souls they'll deliver is their own souls by whose righteousness? By their righteousness. Do you understand now? It's Christ's righteousness that enables us to enter eternal heaven, but it is our righteousness that spares us from experiencing the judgments of God while we live here in this world. Our righteousness. Now, I would hasten to say that it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so the only reason that you ever do that that's right is because God moves you and motivates you. and then you, by the grace of God, you do what God leads you to do, and you obey God. So, who still gets the glory even when you do things that are right and good? It's still God that gets the glory. But basically what he's saying here is when I send my judgments, if Noah and Daniel and Job were in those cities, the only one that would be delivered by their righteousness is themselves. Now verse 15, he's talking about a famine in the first expression. In verse 15 he says, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men, who are the three men?
Noah,
Daniel, and Job. Those three men, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Again, what's he say? When I send my judgment, when I send these beasts into the land, these three men, if they were in the city, they could not deliver the city and they could not deliver their own children. The only one that they could deliver is themselves. Then in verse 17 he says, or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but their own, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Now listen carefully to verses 19 and 20. He says, or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by, what are the last two words there? By their righteousness. And the main thing I want you to understand tonight and remember is that there is a righteousness that you have by keeping the commandments of God. There is a righteousness, there is a practical righteousness that the Word of God talks about. For example, when the Word of God talks about Job, the Word of God emphasizes that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was what? He was perfect and upright. There was a righteousness in Job's life because of the way he was living, because he was trying to serve God. Same thing is true of Noah, and the same thing is true of Daniel. Those are individuals that were living right. And because they were living right, was God pleased with their lives? And did God promise that He was going to bless them in a special way? And did God bless those three men in very special ways because of their righteousness? And now He's using this example. He's saying, now, if I bring my judgment, not if, when I bring my judgment upon Jerusalem, if Noah and Daniel and Job were in Jerusalem, the only one they will deliver is their own souls by their righteousness. Let me give you another principle that's in God's Word that might better explain this, where the Word of God says, the soul that sinneth, what? It shall die. In other words, when an individual, when a soul, when a person is walking contrary to God's Word, when they are not trying to keep the commandments of God, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's unmistakable and inescapable, is that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The righteousness of the father or the mother will not deliver the soul when the soul sins. When an individual child of God walks contrary to God's Word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But when a child of God is trying to live right, even when God brings His judgment on a land, his soul will be delivered by His righteousness. And that's what he's saying in verse 20. The last part, the last phrase in verse 20 says, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of this chapter, but I want you to read it when you get home. I do want to go ahead and read this. I want you to look at verses 21. Verse 21, now what's he talked about so far? What are the three different kinds of judgment that he's talked about so far? If I sinned to what? What was the first thing he said I might sin or I will sin on the, in the land? What was the first thing he said I would sin?
Wow.
Famine. Okay, famine was, I believe, the first thing he said, I will send a famine. And then after that, he said he would send the wild beast, the noisome beast. And then what was the third thing he said he would send? The third thing was he would send a sword into the land. And then the fourth thing is, he says, now when I send a pestilence in the land. Those are four distinctly different things that happen. And then he says, beginning in verse 20, and then I'm going to send all four things at one time. Does everybody follow that? He says, first I'm going to send one thing, then I'm going to send another thing, then another, and then another. And then you come down to verse 21, he says, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant. What's he saying in verse 22? There shall be left a remnant. What's he saying? There will be a small portion of the children of God in those cities. There will be a remnant. There shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings. Now, when you see those that are brought forth, when you see their way and their doings, what are you going to know about their way and their doings? What are you going to know? That they were righteous. That's exactly right. When you see them, when you see them delivered, you're going to know they were righteous. Is that true of Noah when he was brought out of the flood? Do we know that he was a righteous man? Do we know that it was his righteousness that delivered him from being destroyed when the flood came? And we look at Daniel and the others, that remnant that was spared and brought into Babylonian captivity. Do we look at Daniel and do we know that it was his righteousness that brought him forth? That's what God is saying here. When you see those who are delivered, what are you going to know about them? You're going to know their lives, the way they were living, is the reason God spared them. That's what he's saying in verse 22. You shall see their way and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon them. Verse 23. And they shall comfort you. Now, who's going to comfort these people he's speaking to?
The righteous.
They shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings. Now, listen carefully to the last part of verse 23. I really have two texts I want to preach, and I can't preach either one of them all the way, but I want you to listen. Here's a subtext for a second text. And ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord. Now, what's he saying in that last part of that verse? When he says, ye shall know that I have not done without cause. In other words, to me, saying, you will know there is a cause for everything I've done. When you see my judgments come, and you see the wrath of God and the judgments of God poured out, and you see that there is a remnant that is spared, and you see that remnant come out and see them delivered, and you notice that it's their righteousness that delivered them from that judgment, he'll say, you'll know that there was a cause for everything that happened. There was a cause for the judgment that came, and there was a cause that some were delivered. Do you see that in that whole passage of Scripture there? Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think that sometimes the righteous die, and that in their death, I'm not talking about in the judgment, suffering in the judgment, but do you think that sometimes the righteous die, and that because they have died and God just carried them on to glory, that by their death they were delivered from the judgments of God that were coming on a nation? You think God sometimes does that? I've seen that happen. Not just, here's what I've seen. I have seen children and grandchildren of individuals that walk contrary to God's word in God's way. And I have watched how God has oftentimes taken those righteous grandmothers and grandfathers, taken them out of the picture and delivered them home to glory. And they've been spared of ever seeing what their children and their grandchildren did. Does everybody follow what I'm saying there? That is, they were spared from having to see the ungodly ways of their children and their grandchildren. Now, I want to give you a scripture, lest I forget it. I want to go ahead and give you that, and then we'll come back to where we were starting out. Look at Isaiah chapter 57. Please look in your Bibles at Isaiah chapter 57. I want to ask you this question. You know, I'm going to ask you, and I know this is a judgment call. You might not agree with me. But do you think that the generation, let's take my generation, those that are, say, from 40 to 60 years old, do you think those that are in my generation, do you think that we have lived as close to God as the generation that would be from 61 to 80 years old, our older generation? Everybody follow my question. Do you think those of us in my generation, do you think we have lived as a body of people? Do you think my generation of people has lived as close to God as my parents' generation, that generation of people? I don't believe so, brethren. I don't believe that my generation is near as close to God as my parents' generation. And I don't believe that, and I believe I'm even further removed from a righteous nation or righteous generation when I go to my grandparents' generation and I look at that generation of people. I believe that, brethren, that there has been a steady decline of righteousness from one generation to the next. And I believe that the generation that's older than I am, I believe that they're being taken out of this world so that they will not experience the judgments of God that God sends on our nation. Now I want you to see this in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 1. Look carefully in Isaiah 57 verse 1. The Word of God says, "The righteous perisheth." Now what? Who is this? Are we talking about the ungodly perishing? Or are we talking about the righteous perishing? Which one? Right here, the Word of God is talking about the righteous perishing. But the righteous perishing simply means that they're dying. It does not mean they're being punished by God or chastened by God. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away. You hear that? Merciful men are taken away. That is, they go on home to be with the Lord. Merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. What's that verse of Scripture saying to us? It's saying that God, in His wisdom and mercy and grace, that God sometimes takes the righteous and He takes them on to glory, and they're delivered from this world before God brings His judgment on that city or nation. I believe, for example, that in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, I believe that there were some righteous people in those cities that God just took them on home before He carried out His judgment. Now, Just Lot was in that city, and God delivered Just Lot in a different way. I'm saying there are two different ways that God delivers the righteous before He sends His judgment. One way He delivers the righteous is by taking them on to glory. A second way He delivers the righteous is by just reaching down and protecting them and delivering them out of the actual judgment, and they live through the judgment. You see those two different ways of deliverance. I just want you to know, brethren, that the righteous perish. The righteous, let me tell you this, the righteous are perishing today. Listen again to what I'm saying. There is a generation that is dying today. The righteous are perishing today. And no man is taking it to heart. That is, they're not realizing that the righteous are being taken away from the judgment to come. You see that's taught in this verse of Scripture here? We need to pay attention to what's going on around us. Some people say sometimes only the good die young. Well, that's not exactly true. I think there may be a song like that, but I'll tell you this. There are times that the righteous do die young, and in dying young, they're taken away from seeing the horrible things that are coming down the road in their family and in their own family's lives. Go with me back to the book of Exodus just a moment. Do you remember that when I read from Ezekiel, and we're going to Exodus chapter 32, be turning to Exodus chapter 32, but do you remember that when I was reading there from Ezekiel, do you remember that it said that Noah and Daniel and Job, You remember that it says that they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness? Do you remember that it specifically said that they could not deliver their own sons and daughters by their righteousness? I want to ask you this question. If you had a choice, if God said to you, Brother James, if God said, I'll either spare your life or I'll spare Dalton's life when I bring my judgment, what would you say? Would you want your life spared?
I'd rather he spare Dalton.
Yes, you'd rather him spare Dalton. What's the point God is saying here? God is saying, I won't have that choice. God is saying, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The individual that turns his or her back on God, that individual, God's judgments will come on him, and the fathers and the mothers and the grandfathers and the grandfathers, they cannot say, take me and deliver my child or my grandchild. Now that may be a harsh thing to you, but I'm just telling you, that's God's way. That's the principle of righteousness that God says. And I think it's exemplified here in Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, I want you to notice verses 32 and 33. Moses was one of the most godly men. When you read about Moses and his life, did Moses love the children of Israel? Did he love the children of Israel? Did Moses sometimes get frustrated with the children of Israel? Did he get mad at the children of Israel? Did he sometimes want to do something to hurt the children of Israel? But when God would say, now I'm going to send forth my judgment on Israel, what did Moses do? Every time that God told Moses, I'm fixing to send forth my judgment, what does Moses do? Every single time that God says, I'm fixing to send forth my judgment, what does Moses always do?
Take me.
Moses always says, God, have mercy. Lord, take me. Spare them. Take me. And that's the way I want us to all understand. What am I telling? What's the purpose of this message tonight? Two things. Number one, I want everybody to know if you serve God, God's going to take care of you. Number two, I don't want you to only be concerned about the way you live. I want you to be concerned about the way your children and your grandchildren live, because the way you live will not deliver the souls of your children and your grandchildren. And if you don't set the example, and if you don't warn them, and you don't teach them, and you don't, if your soul is not concerned about the hell they're going toward, you don't care about your grandchildren and children. You need to be so concerned about them that you understand your righteousness will not deliver them in the day that God brings His judgment on our nation.
That's right.
And when you see that your children's generation is worse than your generation, and we're worse than our parents' generation, we need to understand we're going further and further away from God, and we're acting like there's nothing we can do about it. We better do all that we can.
Yeah.
We better be warning ourselves and other people about the direction that we're going. In Exodus chapter 32, I want you to listen to Moses' request here. Exodus chapter 32, verses 32 and 33. Well, let me back up to verse 30. I want you to notice in Exodus chapter 32, verse 30. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 30, the Word of God says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. Now, what was the problem in the book of Ezekiel that we read? Why was God going to send His judgment, as we read there in the book of Ezekiel, why was God going to send His judgment on Jerusalem? Why? Because they had what? They had sinned. There was sin in the camp, and they were not doing anything about it. Now He says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. Isn't that what we want to do, is make an atonement for somebody else's sin? What does the book of Ezekiel set forth? It can't happen. It won't happen. So it says in verse 31, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt, forgive their sin. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. What's Moses saying there? God, don't destroy them, don't punish them. If you won't forgive them, just blot me out of thy book, but let them live. Don't destroy them, destroy me. Isn't that an amazing amount of love that Moses had for those people? Here's what God said. Did God accept that? Did God say, okay, Moses, I'll let you give your life for those people? Did God say that? No, He says in verse 33, And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now what does it mean to be blotted out of the book of God? This book is mentioned in the Old and the New Testaments repeatedly, several times in the Old Testament and several times in the New Testament. What is this book? It's the book, it's called the book, it's called God's book, it's called the Lamb's book of life. And it's called the Book of Life. Repeatedly, those expressions are used. The Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life and the book that Moses is talking about here is the names of those individuals that are able to have fellowship with God and commune with God, and they have not been destroyed or cut off from fellowship with God. Listen, brethren, my name and your name can be blotted out of God's book. And Moses understood that, and he said, I beg you, blot me out of thy book. Just spare them. Leave them in your book. Let them still have fellowship with you. But we go to the book of Ezekiel, and what do we learn? The righteousness of the righteous will not deliver anybody but him. It will not deliver his children or others that he loves. Go with me to Numbers just a moment. Numbers chapter 14. In Numbers chapter 14, I want you to notice beginning in verse 22. This is where the children of Israel were about to go into the land of Canaan. You remember they had come to the land of Canaan earlier, and earlier in this chapter, and Caleb and Joshua said, let's go in and possess the land. But there were evil reports that were given saying, we can't go in and possess the land. I want you to notice Numbers 14 beginning in verse 22. Numbers 14, beginning in verse 22, the Word of God says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, what happens to those that do not hearken to the voice of God? What happens when you hear over and over and over again what you ought to be doing and you don't do it, and what you ought to stop doing and you don't stop? What finally happens? You finally die in the wilderness. You perish in the wilderness. Do you know what happens to most of God's children? Most of God's children perish in the wilderness. Verse 23 says, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But, and listen carefully to verse 24, but my servant Caleb. Now, what is it that made a difference in Caleb and the rest of these people? Was it because God just chose Caleb and there was nothing in Caleb's life that caused Caleb to be able to enter the land of Canaan? Or was there something in Caleb's life, the way he lives, that caused God to say, now you will enter the land of Canaan? Was there a difference in the way Caleb had responded to the voice of God, and it was Caleb's righteousness, to listen carefully, was it Caleb's righteousness that allowed him to enter into the land of Canaan? I believe that it was Caleb's righteousness. And listen, brethren, this truth that I'm trying to get across to you tonight, there are people that think you get to the eternal heaven by your righteousness, and that's denied by the Word of God. It's important that you rightly divide the Word of truth. It's important that you and I understand the only righteousness that's going to get us into the eternal heaven when this world is over is whose righteousness? It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But there is a righteousness, a practical righteousness, that God's Word repeatedly speaks about, that when we keep His commandments, it shall be for our righteousness. When we keep His commandments, that, keeping the commandments, is for our righteousness, not to get us into the eternal heaven, but to enable us to have fellowship with God here in this world. Caleb, the Word of God says in verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me, what? And hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Was Caleb going to be able to go into the land of Canaan? Indeed he was. And the point I just want us to remember, do you think this is a negative sermon or a positive sermon? Do you think this is a depressing sermon or an encouraging sermon? Okay, somebody said both. I want it to be a sermon of encouragement. I want it to be a sermon of encouragement. I want all of us to understand. I want us to understand the basic principle. You can't deliver anybody else. Now, you can work with other people to try to get them to live right, and in doing that, you can help deliver other people. But I want you to understand that when God's judgments come, your righteousness will not deliver anybody except you. And you and I are being judged by God according to our obedience and disobedience to God's word while we live each day. God is going to judge America soon. I beg you in the name of Christ to pay attention to what God tells us to do and be doers of God's word and not hearers only, because the only soul you'll deliver is your own, is my prayer for Christ's sake.